Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Let me hear everybody say Jesus. Let me hear you say Jesus. I don't know about you, but I love to call on the name of Jesus, because I found out that there's power in that name. There is joy in that name. There's peace in that name. Everything you need, everything you need, it's all in the name of Jesus. You know, one of the reasons why I love the name is because of all my life, all of my life, I've been taught to honor, respect, and reverence the name of Jesus. But there is no other name. I said there is no other name. No other name. No other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. I like to go way back and sing an old song and tell you what he did for me. This is what he did. He picked me up and he turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. It was Jesus.
I know it was Jesus.
I know it was the Lord.
I know it was the Lord.
Tell me, who do you think?
I know it was Jesus.
Woke me up.
And if not, even at the end of the broadcast, we want to make space for you to do a prayer request, talk about something, because we want solution. We want people delivered, set free, and healed. Mm-hmm. So please don't feel like you want to keep nothing to yourself. Don't keep nothing to yourself. Let somebody know who can pray, somebody who can get through, and so God can deliver and set free. Amen?
Play coming up. Play coming up.
And we also have on Friday night, we have a play at the Light of the World. Get your ticket. Go on. Come into thelight.org and go get your ticket. Amen. I think it's $25. Go get your ticket. Amen. And support that. We thank God for what they're doing, and we pray that God blessing upon it, that people's lives will be changed from that. So tonight we have a man of God,
mm-hmm.
amen, who has been prepped and ready for this word. We're going to ask him to press 1 on his phone so we can bring him live, and we can hear what thus said the Lord tonight. None other than Elder Randall Ford.
Amen.
Amen. Press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live and so we can get the word of God tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Elder Ford, you are now live on the air.
Thank you, and good evening, Pastor Ann and Pastor Stephen Butterfield. How are you this evening? Is everyone doing well?
We're doing great. You guys?
We are doing wonderfully, and I just want to say, as always, it gives me great pleasure, and it is a humbling honor to be on your broadcast, bringing the Word of God to the people of God, and I thank you for the opportunity, and I pray that this ministry, now that it is in its 11th year, that it just continues, and goes forth and does what the Lord have it would do.
Amen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you are very welcome. I'd like to start and begin this evening and go straight into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Good and gracious God, we believe in your power, your goodness, and your authority. We bless you, magnify you, lift you up, and exalt your holy name as we say thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, and for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you for your presence here tonight, as we open up our hearts to your Holy Spirit. Oh God, you are the Rock of Ages and the Ancient of Days, and great is thy faithfulness. Speak through me tonight, O Lord, and use this message to bring glory to your name, hope and joy to your people, and salvation to the lost.
Amen.
Bless the leadership of Light of the World. Bless the children of the world. Have your way, O Lord, and show us your glory.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to talk to you. Thank you. I would like to talk to you this evening just for a little while. Just for a moment, from the subject titled, You Are Worthy.
All right. You are worthy.
And I'd like to bring this subject title from the New Testament book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 28 through 30.
All right.
New King James Version. For some of you, it is a familiar text. New King James Version, Romans 8, 28 through 30. And it reads as follows. And we know that all things work together for good.
Mm-hmm.
To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son,
mm-hmm.
that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. The word of God for the people of God, let it be a blessing unto them. As I said, my text is, you are worthy. And I know for some of us, we might find this hard to believe that you are worthy. We are worthy. Mm-hmm. Because you might recall the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, in the book of Romans, the third chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse, where it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
God was not making a condemnation of his people.
Mm-hmm.
He was not condemning us.
Mm-hmm.
God was making the obvious observation, because God knows all things,
mm-hmm.
that we have all fallen short of his glory because of our sinful nature.
Yes.
You see, when we plant the seeds of that label of being unworthy in our mind, it does take root. Then it grows, and we believe it, and it becomes part of our character. It becomes the way we feel about ourselves. This is why the Apostle Paul, in the 12th chapter of Romans, beginning at the second verse, where he wrote, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, beloved, do not mimic or copy the behaviors of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And this brings me to my three initial points. Part A, because you will see as I proceed, I also have Part B and Part C. But these are the Part A points. This message is so important that I want to make sure it gets through to each and every person.
Mm-hmm.
My first point is for good. My second point will be for new, FOREKNEW. And my third point for this section, Part A, will be for you. For good, for new, for you. My first point for good comes from our original text, Romans 8, verse 28, where it says, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Beloved, there is really, if you pause for a moment to think, there is really no way, no reason we should see ourselves as unworthy or feel as though you are unworthy when God Almighty is on your side. From this verse, verse 28, we get the encouraging understanding that God causes all things, not some things, but all things to work together for our good. God uses all of our life experiences to mold us, to teach us, to guide us for good, for our spiritual good.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, you might ask, but who is this promise of God's word for? The answer is, those words of Scripture are for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them. This promise is for those who have their place of ultimate trust in Jesus Christ. God expresses this promise beautifully in a familiar text, John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Beloved, God felt that for your good, we are so worthy of his love that we in him, he was willing to sacrifice his only Son, that if we believed in that Son, you would never perish but have everlasting life. No matter how you are feeling on any given day, loving God is what it means to live in Christ. We are to express our love of God by calling to him through faith in Jesus and coming to him through faith in Jesus. For good, each of us are called to fulfill God's purpose he has for us.
Amen.
And as such, we must lead a life worth and worthy of our calling. For
Amen.
Each of us, for good, has been called by God.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, if you let him, God will take all of your pain, your distress, your trials, your tribulations. He'll take all of our suffering and work in and through those circumstances toward a specific end. And what is that end? That end is for good, for our spiritual good. That end is when God works it all out for good, our spiritual good. We are to give him all of the glory.
Amen.
When God works in us, through us, for us, with us, for good, for our spiritual good, according to his purpose, he is saying, "You are worthy."
Yes, yes.
Verse 29 brings me to my second point. For new, FOREKNEW. For new means to know something beforehand. Verse 29 reads as follows: "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren." What God is saying through Paul in this verse is that our calling to serve God's purpose goes way back before time began. Almighty God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present, foreknew those who are now brothers and sisters of Jesus because they have become the children of God by faith in Jesus. The word foreknew in this verse tells us that God knew of us as Christians before we knew of him. Paul says it more plainly in the New King James Version of Ephesians 1 and 4, where it says, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." In other words, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Based on this scripture, God foreknew us, predestined, determined, and appointed us in advance. God chose us for a purpose. God's purpose has been that we become more like Christ. Christ is our model. Christ is our standard. This is why in verse 29 it says that he predestined us to conform to the image of his son. Mm-hmm. Predestined means to predetermine, to be chosen ahead of time. This is another way of saying foreknew. The last part of verse 29 states that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. With these words, God is saying that we are part of his holy family as brothers and sisters to his firstborn son, Jesus Christ. Beloved, when God foreknew us, chose us before time began to be a part of his holy family, to become more like Christ Jesus, he is saying, you are worthy. Verse 30 brings me to the third point, for you. Verse 30 starts off by saying, moreover, whom he predestined, which means that God chose you. Then the verse also says, these he also called, which means after being chosen, God called us to him. The verse continues with, whom he called, these he also justified. This means that once you were called by God, he gave you right standing with him. You see, beloved, we cannot justify ourselves because of our sinful nature. We can only be justified through faith in Christ. The last part of that verse reads as follows, and whom he justified, he also glorified. And this means God is saying that those who are with God the Father, he will grant you glory. He will grant you access to the perfect magnificence of everlasting life in heaven. Therefore, when you have been made right in God's sight by faith, you have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has done for you. God is saying, you are worthy. With God the Father, his Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all working on our behalf, how can there be so many people who still see themselves trapped in their feelings of not being worthy? Remember, beloved, unworthiness is negativity, and all negativity comes from the enemy, the devil.
Amen.
Jesus is the best destroyer of unworthiness we should know. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, all sin and unworthiness was nailed to that cross also. As a result of Jesus' resurrection and ascension back to heaven, and with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, our sins and our false unworthiness should not become a part of our character. This brings me to my part B points. They are reflective of the categories that make us feel unworthy. These point B categories are as follows. They fall into the category of when we feel hopeless, helpless, hapless, H-A-P-L-E-S-S, hapless, and the last H word is heart. When your heart is broken, when you're heartbroken. Hopeless, helpless, hapless, heartbroken. Let's see how Jesus handled these categories, these situations back then, in an effort to gain encouragement for us now.
Mm-hmm.
So my next point, hopeless. In Matthew chapter 9, in the New King James Version, verses 20 to 22, we have a woman who for 12 years had an issue of blood. The story is also found in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8. But here we have a remarkable story of a woman who I'm sure tried everything, every medicine, every remedy, every doctor, and no matter what she did, for 12 long years, she was reminded of her hopeless situation. Because of her condition and the customs during this time, she was shunned as an outcast of society. But one day, Jesus came to town. On that day, this woman made up in her mind, outcast or not, that if she could somehow, some way, get close enough to Jesus and just touch the hem of his garment, she believed, she truly, truly believed she would be healed. Let me read verse 22. From Matthew 9, to emphasize this point. It reads as follows. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour on. So I ask the question tonight. Is this you? Is this how you feel? Hopeless. If so, then know this. The hopeless are worthy, for through their faith, they are made well. And tonight I say, according to the word of God, you are worthy.
Amen.
My next point, helpless. In Luke chapter 17, New Living Translation, verses 11 through 19, we have the story of a man this time who saw himself in a helpless situation. As Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, as the story goes, he entered a certain isolated village, and there he met 10 lepers. They cried out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." Jesus saw them and told them to go show themselves to the priest. And as they went to show themselves, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of the 10 noticed he was cleansed and with a loud voice turned back and glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus's feet, giving him thanks for what he had done.
Amen.
Let me read verses 17, 18, and 19, Luke 17, New Living Translation, to continue the story. It reads as follows. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you."
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
No doubt. this former leper receive an extra blessing from Jesus that would be long-lasting and life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was his outside body made whole, I am sure Jesus did something special on the inside of this man. So I ask you the question. Is this how you feel? Helpless? If so, then know this. The helpless are worthy through their faith.
Amen.
Because through their faith, they are healed.
Amen.
And tonight, I say according to the word of God,
yes,
you are worthy.
Amen.
My next point, hapless, H-A-P-L-E-S-S. In Luke chapter 7, New King James Version, verses 36 through 50, we find a woman in a hapless situation. Hapless means unlucky, unfortunate, miserable, pitiful, or pathetic. And perhaps she found herself in this hapless situation because of her lifestyle, living as a prostitute. As the story continues, we find Jesus in the home of one of the Pharisees who invited him over to sit down and have a meal. This woman suddenly appears. This prostitute, known by all, boldly kneels before the feet of Jesus. The Bible said that she was weeping and began to wash the feet of Jesus with her tears and wipe them off, dried his feet with her hair. She even kissed his feet and anointed them with rare, fragrant oil from her alabaster box. When Jesus was judged by his company for letting a sinner touch him, Jesus defended the woman and her actions toward him. Jesus made the point to his host that he had not shown any such respect to him as a guest by doing any of the things this woman did for Jesus. Let me read the last three verses in Luke. Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with Jesus began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sin?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So I ask the question again tonight. Is this you? Is this how you feel? Hapless. If so, then know this. The hapless are worthy, for through their faith, they are saved. And tonight, I say according to the word of God, you are worthy. My next point, heartbroken. The 11th chapter of John, New Living Translation, verses 1 through 44, tells the story of two sisters that are heartbroken. Their hearts are broken over the death of their brother, Lazarus. Nevertheless, there must have been some added touch of sadness because they did send word to Jesus to come heal their brother while he was alive, yet sick. 4 days later, when Jesus arrives, one of the sisters, Martha, tells Jesus in verse 21, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Obviously, this sister was expressing her brokenheartedness, her disappointment. But in the very next breath, she expresses a declaration of her faith in Jesus. She says in verse 22, "But even I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus was led to the tomb where the dead brother lay. Verses 43 and 44 reads as follows. "When he had said this, he called with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The man who had been dead came out. His hands and feet were tied with grave clothes. A white cloth was tied around his face. Jesus said to the people, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'"
Go.
You see, beloved, God, through his Son, is never limited in his power as to what he can do to help you overcome your feelings of unworthiness. We merely have to call on him in faith for his help.
Amen.
So I ask the question one last time. Is this you? Is this how you feel, brokenhearted, for whatever reason? If so, know this. The brokenhearted are worthy, for through their faith, they are restored. And tonight I say, according to the word of God, you are worthy. And beloved, this now brings my message to a close. I come to my Part C points. These points deal with a heart that was broken by another individual. And beloved, we have all experienced this in our lives. And it can be devastating, painful, hurtful. Some of us have been blessed to have recovered quickly from this type of hurt, while still so many others are stuck for 5, 10, 15, 20 plus years of feeling unworthy because of what somebody did to you.
Amen. Amen.
It's appropriate that these points in my Part C, all four points begin with the letter C. So my first point in Part C is concentrate. In order to break the cycle of feeling unworthy in this type of situation, you must concentrate on the word of God. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10 and 17, New King James Version, and it reads as follows. "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Paul is explaining that when believing happens, it is through hearing what God has to say. You see, beloved, God sends those who are called as representatives out to preach the gospel. Those who believe have an opportunity to call on Christ. All who call on the name of Christ, on the name of Christ Jesus, will be saved, as it says in Romans 10 and 13. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Concentrate on the word of God. Let it be your teacher and your protector. It heals the broken heart. You are worth it because you are worthy. Mm-hmm. My next point, my next C point, confess. In 1 John 1 and 9, New Living Translation, it says, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John is explaining that those who confess their sins are reassured that God will forgive and remove the negative impact of those sins on their relationship with God and with others. In fact, John wants us to depend on God for cleansing us as well as admitting to our sins in an effort to be drawn into closer relationship with God. Although we are forgiven at the point of our own salvation, meaning when we first confessed our faith in Jesus Christ, there is an ongoing sense in which we need to confess our sin in order to experience continual forgiveness and cleansing. I know this to be true because when you translate the word confess to the root origin, it becomes a verb meaning prolong or sustain confession. The promise of God, the promise of God to forgive and cleanse us of our sins is guaranteed because Jesus paid the price. He paid the penalty for our sins. Remember, beloved, you cannot expect God to forgive you of your sins when you are unwilling to forgive those who sinned against you. You put yourself, you put your heart in a trap bound by your own doing when you are unable to forgive others. Amen. The Word of God says in Matthew 6 and 15, New Living Translation, it says, but if you refuse to forgive others, God the Father will not forgive your sins. Also, in Luke 37, New Living Translation, it says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, and it will not all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven.
Amen.
Beloved, confess humbly and honestly to Almighty God. Let him forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It heals the broken heart. It does. It really heals the broken heart. You are worth it because you are worthy. My next point, control. You are to take control of your mind in order to take control of your thoughts. A broken heart can generate powerful thoughts that can cause you to say and do things that are not in accordance with God. Listen to how Matthew explains this concept in Matthew 15 and 19, New Living Translation. It says, from the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. The Apostle Paul suggests to us the thoughts we should have in Philippians 4 and 8, the Living Translation, where it says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In other words, beloved, we should fill our mind with good and positive thoughts constantly. Jesus says it even better in Matthew, New King James Version, Matthew 22 and 37, where Jesus says, And Jesus replied, you must love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The Apostle Paul makes plain the positive and the negative consequences of our thoughts, that they have the effect on our lives. He explains it in Romans 8 and 6, New Living Translation, where it says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the spirit control your mind leads to life and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Control your mind with the help of the Holy Spirit. It leads to a peaceful life which heals the broken heart. You are worth it because you are worthy. For my next and final point, called, we really have no time to allow a broken heart to make us feel unworthy. Here are some biblical reasons to remember as we try and put within our minds, our bodies, and our souls that we are worthy. These following biblical texts all come from the New Living Translation. Galatians 1 and 15. We were called before we were born. Romans 8 and 28. We were called according to God's purpose for our lives. Ephesians 4 and 1. We are called to live worthy lives. Colossians 3 and 5. We are called to live in peace. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12. We are called to share God's kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17. We are called by God to live holy lives. You see, beloved, we are called by God to do many things. That calling heals the broken heart. You are worth it because you are worthy.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, the Bible is filled with numerous scriptures that we can meditate on. It is up to us to use the wisdom of the Bible to get ourselves on track, to know the true nature of God that's within us. And that is to believe within ourselves, you are worthy. Amen, amen,
amen,
and amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
You are worthy.
Thank you.
You are worthy. We praise God tonight for that word. I'm telling you, that is an awesome word that we need right now, because so many of us going through different things and began to feel unworthy. And so I just want to say to the audience tonight, please take this word in. Receive this word and then go back and study this word. He was in Romans 8 and 28, and there were several scriptures that he shared with us. So we want to go back and just study this word and get it into our spirit that you are worthy. You are worthy. Start speaking that to yourself daily, that you are worthy. Elder Ford, this was an awesome word. And then I thought about the I don't know if I ever heard of the word helpless, and then I look at that and it's just tie into all of that, that hopeless and helpless and heartbroken, all of that just ties in there together. And I'm telling you, this is a solid word for the people of God on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say the people of God, this word is for the people of God. I mean, folks that those of us that are born again, saved, know the Lord, we got to really, really begin to trust God and believe God. And for those that are not born again, you have to really receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So you have an opportunity to really, really be able to focus in on this word that he's teaching on tonight, that you will be able to know that you are worthy. You are worthy. So there, those of you out there in radio land that want to talk to the man of God, Elder Ford, on tonight, you want prayer or you want to give a comment concerning this word, please press 1 on your phone and we will bring you live on the air. We do want to hear from you. So just press 1 on your phone and we see that we have 1 in queue and the first 3 digits is 516 and the last 4 digits is 20. And you are now live on the air caller.
Amen, amen. This is his cousin Andrea. Yes, we are worthy. Amen. Good preaching, good preaching, good preaching. For good,
amen.
For new, for you. Oh, your points with C. Concentrate on the word of God, called on Christ, confess and be cleansed, a closer relationship. In this time, this is, amen, as the Reverend just said, what we need to hear and to remember good thoughts and positive thinking. We need to receive this and reflect. So everyone else out there listening to this, I know you were blessed by this teaching this evening, and blessings to you. God spoke through you today. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Thank you
so much.
Amen.
Thank
you. Amen.
Thank you for calling in. We have another in queue, and the first 3 digits is 917. Digits is 7809, and you are now live on the air.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I am so glad that I had a chance to hear this word from my brother, my older brother, my oldest brother, my only brother, Randolph A. Ford. Man, you just did a job on that word. That scripture was right on point. And I am so glad that I took the time to listen, and I'm so glad that I was able to hear it live. Amen, amen.
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 Amen, brother.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much for being tonight. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you, all of those who have given a comment, and we still have another minute or so. If you want to express yourself or you want prayer on tonight, just press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you live on the air. We thank God for those of you who has expressed yourself, and we have another caller, and the first 3 digits is 214 and the last 4 digits is 8539. And so now you're live.
My dear nephew Sandy, you have said the word. We truly enjoyed every word that you spoke. God be with you and yours. You certainly hit home. Thank you so much for all. Love you, dear. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
We have another in queue. 601. Your first 3 digits is 601. And the last 4 digits is 1322. And you're now live on the air.
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Hey, how you doing, man?
And see, Brother Phil. This is Brother Norman.
How you doing?
Wonderful job. Wonderful job. I ate well tonight. Just wanted to piggyback that when Jesus approached John the Baptist felt unworthy.
Yeah.
But because Jesus chose him, that put him in the place of being worthy. So just wanted to encourage somebody tonight that just because he chose us, that puts us in the place of being worthy. Amen.
That's right.
God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Love y'all.
Again, you guys can hear Norman every Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Just dial the same number you dial in. You hear
every morning,
word of 10 a.m. Anointed and appointed word with Brother Norman Wood. Powerful
Amen.
Man of God, who God is using in these days and time.
Amen.
To preach the word of God, to encourage the people
mm-hmm.
of God. So we thank God
amen.
For all of you. Amen.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank God for the fours. Amen.
Yes.
We on next week, we have
Woo.
The other part of
oh,
Diane McDougal.
Oh,
amen. Elder Michelle Ford. Amen. She should
yes.
be up next week.
Yes.
Amen. To give us what says.
All of y'all, tune in next
tune
week.
Tune in on next week.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. So, Elder Ford, we want you to pray for the people of God
yes.
who have listened to this word,
mm-hmm.
that this word will be sealed in their heart. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That will be encouraged and inspired.
Mm-hmm.
When those dark days come,
yes,
they will
Lord.
Know that they're still worthy.
They're worthy. They're worthy.
Yes, Pastor. Mm. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to hear your word, to be reminded that, yes, through you and your son, we are worthy.
Yes.
We just need to, in faith, humble ourselves and surrender to you, and
mm.
you will do the rest. Father, I feel tonight that we have touched many tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And let it be a blessing to those who hear this message at a later date. Let it be a blessing to those who hear it from the word of mouth of those who listen tonight, Father. Let
yes.
the miracle of you continue mm. on. Dear
yes.
Heavenly Father, we love you. We magnify you. We humble ourselves before you and give you all the glory. And just as I prayed, I wanted this message to give all the glory back to you. And
amen.
So it is. And we say, in the mighty name of your son Jesus, amen.
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 Thank you so
amen.
Much
thank
for
you
the powerful word.
Thank you all for tuning in. We are so
yes.
glad that you have tuned in.
Yes.
And we know you have been blessed tonight.
Yes. Thank
so
you.
So tell
Lord.
Your neighbors, tell your friends, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161
to the Turn on the Light broadcast with
Pastor
Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Have a great night.